Advent season, and we are only 2 weeks away from our Christmas Day. And on Christmas Day, the 25th, the Thursday, we will have our Christmas worship. So I'm going to give that more information on our announcement. Now, on this Advent series, week three, I'm going to give you a message on the miracle of the method. Miracle of the method. Now, as growing up as a little kid, I still remember that I had two mysteries of Santa. Number one, Santa is supposed to come through the chimney, and our house did not have a chimney. And I was always wondering how my Santa came and gave that gift on Christmas Day when there was no chimney. Number two, Santa is supposed to give presents to all children, boys and girls throughout the entire world. And how is it that he so quickly do it all in one day, go to all the boys and girls? Now, those two mysteries and questions that I had in my childhood continued until recently. I have received one answer. I still don't know how Santa does it to the chimney when there's no chimney these days, but I still don't have that answer. But I know how these speed that Santa does, thanks to our techniques and ITs, and I have asked AI how Santa does, and this is what the AI simulation and calculation is. Now, to deliver presents globally in one night, Santa must be pretty fast. The time window Santa has is about 32 hours, counting for the time differences in time zone. And he has to make about 200 million household stops. That's roughly 700 million to 720 million kids around the world. And that gives the speed, how Santa must be so quick, that at speed of 4.7 million kilometers per hour, or 3 million miles per hour, that Santa has traveled to cover that kind of distance. And that speed is about 0.5% of speed of light. Well, you think 0.5%, that's nothing. Well, compare this. That's still 2,000 times faster than a bullet. That's 3,000 times faster than the fastest flight jet, or fighter jets. And that's a hypersonic speed of Mach 4,500. I mean, we'd be amazed, and the world goes, wow, Mach 5, that's pretty fast. Santa goes 4,500 Mach, or 1,000 miles per second. So to travel in such a speed that requires physics bending abilities to manage time and distance for billions of children in only 24 to 32 hours. In essence, Santa needs to be much, much faster than any known airplane, using magic or advanced physics to cover such a distance in short time of amount. And it's just simply amazing. Now I still don't know how he goes through the chimneys, but we know how fast he has to go through in one night to cover all children in the entire world. Now, what does this Santa's supersonic lightning speed delivery has to do with our Christmas message? You might wonder, nothing. And you'll say, well then, Pastor, why'd you mention it? Well, I'm going to give you a message about method of God. Unlike Santa's, which is dubious, which is doubtful, highly doubtful, that we puzzle at, I have to watch my word, because some of the kids who are listening might still believe in their Santa, so I have to watch my words, but it's fairly highly doubtful. But compared to that method of Santa, what God did in the first Christmas day shows it's a well beyond what is charming and fascinating. It is a miracle, a wonderful miracle of God to show the method he brings to us on the Christmas day. So I'm going to tell you about three miraculous methods that God brought to us on the first Christmas day. Number one method, God's method is transcendent. Now, what is the miracle of Christmas? The method God employed and showed to us is just a sheer transcendent miracle. God's methods are beyond our comprehension, and that's the message that we read in our passage, Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. I mean, we have no ways to know how God's ways are. It goes beyond our imagination, beyond our comprehension. We would try to know God, but his wisdom, his knowledge, his power is beyond our comprehension. Simply put, God doesn't work the way we would operate. God does things that is well beyond our thinkings. I mean, you think about this. If you and I, the most wise, the most highly educated, the most, you know, guru of the, you know, you and me, the most respected person would come up with this idea how to save the world. This world is dying of sin, and everybody's doing sin, therefore they're just perishing. How would you come up with an idea to save the world? God's ways to save this humanity, to dying souls, is just beyond our comprehension. If God, the Bible does not tell us how God does and what God's ways are, we would never imagine how to save from sins of our own decrees in our life. God's ways are transcendent. The best method that people can come up with, in fact, some religions do go after this, is two things. That you would pay some payment for the wrongs that we do. If you do something wrong, then you pay something. Or some of them would say, or you can just do some good things in your life. If your good deeds would outweigh better than your bad, then maybe you'll be forgiven. But if you think about these two ways, which is common, they are not the best. First of all, reimburse your sins. Wow. If you do something wrong in your life, you feel guilty and you feel bad and you know you have to do something about it. And the logic is, if you just pay something for that wrongs you have done in your life, if you can just make a monetary payment for that wrong that you did, maybe that I can be forgiven. It's a reasonable and logical thing to think about, but God did not do this way. Why not? It sounds logical. It sounds a pretty good idea, but God did not. Why? Because to make a payment for your wrongs would be an unfair job. Think about this. A billionaire who has lots of money say, okay, God says, if you want to be forgiven, if you wish to wash your sins in your life, you have to pay $1 million as an offering to the church. Let's just say that hypothetically. If God said that, a billionaire have no problem paying that $1 million. Hey, nothing. Do you need help? I can help yours. I mean, it will be nothing for a billionaire. But for those people who barely make, you know, ends meet every day, struggling with their life every day, $1 million to pay for their sins in their lifetime, forget it. Unreal and unrealistic. To pay for what you have done in your life would be unfair. Well, then, the second one, how about good things? What if you do good to outweigh the wrongs in your life? You've done something bad and something worse things in your life. Hey, if I do something good that outweighs my wrong, maybe God can forgive me. Well, God didn't do that either. Why not? Because that good is such a subjective concept, good. You know, I majored in my doctoral studies, I majored Christian social welfare. And philosophically, it's a tough challenge to say, okay, state, the country, pays a certain amount of funds and money to support, you know, wealth to the poor, to the needy. Is that good, or is it not helping them? Welfare seems to be good, but is it locking them into what they are, or really a way to get out of the situation? It's a tough thing. You know, when you go out and people, you know, in the streets, if there is any beggar, they're asking for money or coins, and what do? I don't give anything. Why? I am burdened to give because God says to look after the needy and the poor, but I am burdened that my money should I give, that it does it go to cover for his hunger or for his drunkenness? When we think about this good, it's a difficult concept. We cannot really know whether helping is good or not. But God commanded us to help the needy and the poor. So therefore, we need to as command, but never once in the Bible that God connects doing good to our salvation. No. It's just a command to help the needy. Not to wash my sins, not to gain righteousness from God. No. Because good is such a difficult concept. So then, in God's wisdom, not our wisdom, but in God's wisdom, he had come up with this plan, a design to save the world. And that is transcendent. Wonderful ways that we would never think of. How does he do it? By sending his son, Jesus, to us. Because we can never earn our good in ourselves. We can never be good enough. Therefore, he sent his son in replacement of our sins to pay for that payment that sin requires, the death that required. God sent his son, Jesus, so that anyone who believes this wonderful work on the cross, even a little child, who can understand that Jesus saved them from their sins, can be forgiven. But even rocket scientists with the most brilliant mind were not able to understand or believe such a wonderful God's way that is transcendent above our understanding. You see, if we were to write a design of saving ourselves or to be forgiven of our sins in our life, we would be something like this. Oh, if I do something good in our life, or if I pay something, or make a monetary sacrifice, or those would be the best we can come up with. God, so different, so transcendent. The plan to save sinners out of his grace. All about God's grace. To give his son, who is deity, God himself, incarnated. I mean, how would God come to earth? Gods don't come to earth. But our God gave his son Jesus on a baby form, in bodily form, to birth in this world. To make the payment, God said, all right, my son is going to die on the cross. I mean, if the Bible is not there, we would never dream of a way that someone would die for my sins. And that someone is not just anyone, but God himself. It's just transcendent. Everything that God does in the Bible is just out of our understanding. Something that we could never dream of. The reversal of that crucifixion on the condemnation that Jesus, even after his death, Jesus will resurrect after 3 days and show the victory. I mean, where in the Bible, where in the world will we know that kind of message if not the Bible? And the final consummation, the final ending that Jesus will return to take us home. Where would you find that kind of message other than the Bible? I mean, everywhere in the Bible is just transcendent. That is not our understanding level. What is Christmas? Christmas is that beginning, appearing of that transcendent design. God wanted to show us the level that we can understand by sending his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus didn't come as a king or queen or a military leader or a religious leader. He came as a baby boy, a common baby boy who was born in a manger, in a stable, a barn. Nobody is born in a barn. I was born in a, you know, in a hospital. I don't think anyone here was born in a barn. But such a lowly, humble way that nobody would expect that kind of coming. He came into the world as a helpless, defenseless baby. He was born into a young couple who was not famous or rich or popular. Joseph and Mary, they were nobodies. Parents of Jesus, no amazing things, plain, ordinary, obscure individuals. Yet God used them to give his son. How amazing God's ways. This is what Isaiah 55 says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, God doing everything in the Bible, it is just beyond our imagination. If you and I were to do it, we would do so differently, so logically, so reasonably. God is over that. Wonderful, miraculous method that God employs, even giving of his son Jesus to us. I mean, it is repeated over and over in the Bible. It's as a pattern in the Bible. You think about it. Abraham, he was called out from all the way from Ur of Chaldeans, way away from Canaan. But he chose him to make a great promise to him. Joseph, he was the youngest from his brothers. Yet, he chose this youngest son to lead his family and save them from the famine and the nation. Israel, God's chosen nation, the smallest and the weakest and insignificant around the region. Yet, through this nation, God has brought such a miraculous power and blessing to us. David, a shepherd boy, who had many brothers, older brothers, but he was chosen to be the king of Israel, that God works through this youngest boy. Bethlehem is a small town. I mean, it's a small little dinky town that nothing to be proud of. But God brought this Bethlehem, selected to give his son birth, his son there. In the Bible, everything is extraordinary. It goes well beyond our imagination or our methods or our ways. And that's how God works, to bring this unseemingly unpopular, ordinary, just regular things for God's wonder-working, extraordinary things. The same here, Mary and Joseph. They were nobody. They were there traveling to Bethlehem, no place to sleep. They were in the barn when the baby was time to come out. I'm sure Joseph, he was so panicking. I mean, where to go? What to do? I mean, this is a barn. There's no place to lay our boy. And probably made that manger out of straws, tried to clean the place where there's manures and stinking things, and he was trying to make a clean place as best he can for the boy baby to arrive. Often, God's ways are transcendent, even shocking. Number two, God's method is inclusive. To celebrate the birth of God's Son, angels appeared. And guess where the angels appeared to? Not to the royal palace, to the kings and queens or religious leaders, but to the shepherds. Shepherds who were on a night watch, looking at their flocks in their night, the angels appear to the shepherds. God chose to make that grand announcement of coming and birth of Jesus Christ. to a shepherds in the field, nobody, unknown, unpopular, anybody ordinary. Incredible. If we think about this, the more we think about it, it's just incredible how God does it. Why? I mean, he's giving his son, the most precious son to earth. I mean, he would just announce with fanfare and let the people know that I'm sending my son, therefore receive him, accept him, honor him. But God didn't do that. In the quietness and calm night, God sent his angels to the shepherds to go and pay their tribute. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And that is repeated over and over in the Bible again and again. Remember Jesus? After his resurrection, Jesus appeared first to women. Enough said already. I mean, back in those 2,000 years ago, women, they had no names, no position, status. But Jesus appeared to women so that Jesus approaching that status quo, the social norm, Jesus breaks everything to approach everyone, including you and me. God's method is just different. And so different. That is so inclusive. If we were to plan God's design like that, we would say, okay, I'm going to give my son to the best place, highest honor, highest position, that all the kings and the queens will come and bow down. Nuh-uh, not God. He sent the shepherds to go and honor Jesus. Praise Jesus. And what does that mean? God welcomes you and me even. The ordinary. Nothing to be, you know, boastful of. You and I, we are even called to serve God and praise Jesus. Because God opens his door to all of us, inclusively. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29 says. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. You see, we weren't someone very special that God chose and called us. No, we were humble, ordinary, just regular people. Yet, God was able to approach us and call us to show God's love to us so that we can believe God and tell others who are the same, ordinary, and unpopular. You see, God is not about abilities, but availability and our attitude. God does not go out to try to find those who have abilities, those who have achieved a certain level, those who have acquired certain degrees, those who have backgrounds at a certain level. No, God is not about our abilities, but God is all about attitude, all about availability. God, here I am. Here I am. God, I am here. I am nothing. I'm so poor, so ordinary, so nothing, but here I am. And to those who are available, would make themselves available to God, God would choose them, and not only by choosing, but God would use them for kingdom power and authority. God expands his kingdom through just regular person, just like you and me. And that's our message of the Christmas. A wonderful miracle of method that God employed to call you and me. Number three, God's method is life-saving. One more. God is at work in the lives of our lives. And you would think, if I was to design these ways in this world, if I was there, you and I, in our wisdom, in our understanding, we will make this, okay? If someone person becomes God's child, what person believes in God, I will make him to just live without no problems, no difficulties. They will live a blissful life for the rest of their life because they have placed their trust and belief in God. I would make that kind of design. Why? Whoa, I would like to become a problem solver. If you just believe in God, everything will become clear and problem-free, pain-free. But God did not. The reality that you and I will live, we have problems, challenges, difficulties, pains, sufferings. All these are a part of our life, even after you and I believe in God. Question, why? I mean, wouldn't God make us, you know, our life so blissful, so pain-free because we have placed our trust in God, and just God would honor that belief and make our life even problem-free? But he did not. He did not. Why? Why God's method in our life, the reality that we have to suffer, we have to go through challenges in our life, we have temptations, trials, all these are inclusive all in our life, even after we have God as our Lord and Master in our life. Why some things happen in our life? I don't have all the answers. I don't really understand why. But what I do believe is this. God is for us. God is working through this process so that we will put our trust in God more, all the more, and we will become Christ-like. I don't understand why there are problems and pains and sufferings, all these things happening in the world. But I do know and believe this. Through all this, God wants us to be stronger and come draw near, closer to God. And that's why we believe in this passage, Romans 8:28, very famous passage. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Yes, we don't understand why this may be happening, but we do know God is working for the good. All these things will come to a good because we have put our trust in God. You know, think about this, Mary and Joseph. They are a scandalous. Mary was not married to Joseph. They haven't had this, you know, man and wife intercourse yet. They were vowed, but they were not married. But angel appeared to them, hey, you're going to have a baby. How? That's good news to hear. No. It is so scandalous that they will have a big problem. But Mary and Joseph, they received with faith. All right? You know, Mary said, your servant, I'm your servant. Do what you please. Joseph, he said, all right, you know, he wanted to, you know, quietly, but angel appeared, don't. Receive her as your wife, and you know, he did. But they had to go through many, many things. People speaking back behind them. They ridicule them. They point finger at them. They talk back on them. A lot of things happen because of this decision. But they patiently waited. Why? They knew the baby inside as God himself. Through this bearing, enduring, people's persecutions, ridicules, these will come nothing compared to what is coming. God through them. You see, you and I go the same thing here. We don't really understand what these things happen to us, But we can believe this. God is working, and God is working for us. And God is working for the good of us. Show me this picture, please. Remember this picture? I've shown this picture about May this year, a couple months ago. And this picture is what God is doing in our life. We don't really understand what this is, and this embroidery, this tapestry. What is this? I mean, this looks nothing. It's all unorganized. It doesn't look anything good, and we are concerned, and we are worried, and see, what is God doing in our life? We're puzzled. We don't understand what this is. But in one day, we'll finally be able to see the front picture of this, how God is working so wonderful miracle things, so beautifully, that things that we don't understand, this color is there, this pattern is there, this color, and all these mix of things that we don't know why God is and what God is doing, the Bible promises us in one day, we will clearly see from face to face, ah, look at this. This is the beauty that God has worked in my life through the circumstances and difficulties and challenges in my life to bring this wonderful pattern of beauty in my life. So would you please repeat after me? Continue to trust God. One more time. Continue to trust God. That's right. You may not see that beauty yet. We may not understand yet, but we will see one day. God is working for us and through us the beauty that God is designing for us. You know, you and I, our lives, we don't really understand. Therefore, we must choose to trust what we know that is true from the Bible. God's promise is all we have. And that promise is that all we need to hold on to in our life, that God has revealed through his Son Jesus, that we must choose and believe that God is working in us and for us for his glory. He is at work weaving the beauty, the tapestry, that in one day we'll all see the beauty all together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of universe, oh, how wonderful you are, how great you are, your riches, your wisdom, your knowledge. We must confess that at times it's impossible for us to completely understand your ways and your methods. Your ways are not our ways, not your thoughts, our thoughts. Forgive us for trying to fit you in a neat little compartment, trying to understand you. We confess that many times we are frustrated and confused by the things that have happened in our lives. Help us to remember that you love us and you are work in our lives for our good and your glory. Help us to continue to trust you even when we don't understand how you are working. You have chosen to use the ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things for your kingdom. Use us, Lord. Take our lives and use them in whatever way to extend your kingdom here on earth. Thank you for loving us through all that you do. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen. Alleluia.